Let's go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. One of the things that the scriptures do for us is it teaches us how, I think, to live independent of the economic system of this world. That's one of the biggest things that I've learned since I've been born again. And I say that once you learn how to do that, then the world can't tell you what to do anymore. And that's what I wanted. I wanted financial freedom. You know, a lot of people think they're free because they got a credit card. You know, you're free when you don't have to use it. It's when you're free. But I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with it, but because I use it, but I pay off mine at the end of the month. But the idea about it is that God wants you free. He wants you free to not only serve Him, but be able to do what He's asked you to do. I've had people who say, Pastor, we'd like to donate this piece of property to the church. Say, now we still owe 10 years on the mortgage. I mean, I say, oh, okay. We'll just hold on to it until you get it ready. Praise the Lord. But let's look at this. John chapter 6 and verse 5. This is very quickly now because we need to get into the word of God, main message. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him, and he said to Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, I'd like you to underline 200 pennyworth of bread. 200 pennyworth. That 200 pennyworth is, from my study, is about 8 months' wages. 8 months' wages. So notice that right away, Philip put whatever the need was up against how long he would have to work to get the money to be able to meet that need. That's what he did. Now, where did that thinking come from? It came from the fall of man. It wasn't in the garden. That thinking came from the fall of man. And now Jesus is there to convert their thinking. Look what he said in verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. When Jesus took the loaves, when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. Now, at the end of this, you see that not only did they have enough, they had more than enough. Now, suppose it was 20,000 or 40,000 or 80,000. I don't believe it made any difference. And the reason why it didn't make any difference is because they weren't getting the provision out of their own bucket. They were getting them out of God's bucket. In other words, they were tapping into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus had been teaching on this, and then the Bible says here that he now is to prove them. He's trying to see if they really caught a hold of the message that he just gave them. Did you really catch it? Because he's now going to call for them to act on what he just taught. So what happened was Philip then answered according to his own labor. So what Jesus came to do is he came to bring us back to us having to not have to bear the weight of our own provision. So he never intended that. Let's, for example, Just take a scripture in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. This is when children of Israel coming out of Egypt into the wilderness, and now they're there. Watch this. Then God said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather in a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." Now this is interesting because they were out in the middle of nowhere. There was no Ultra, no Dominic's, no Maggiano's, no nothing. No pizza place, no anything. But yet they were fed for almost 40 years without a job. Now I want you to see this because what the fall did, it connected your job to what you could have. So if you weren't making much, you couldn't have anything much. Not so in the kingdom. Once you come into the kingdom, your job becomes your assignment. And God may assign you a job over here, or may have assigned you a job over there, whatever it might be paying. My point to you is, I'm not trying to lessen the effect of you being getting a certain paycheck on a job, but my point to you is that he was showing them that he doesn't need this whole idea of somebody working for it, that he could provide for it independent of what they could work for. Do y'all, somebody understand this? All right, now, this, one of the reasons why that is so important is because a man cannot serve two masters. You got that? In other words, if a person is too provision-minded, you will find that they will lack creativity. They will lack creativity. You'll find that with people who maybe been on welfare for years. You'll find that they're looking for that check, and that's all they think about is that check, that check, that check. They ought to be thinking about a way to get out of that check. But it's interesting they don't, because you can't serve two masters. See? And so I'm saying that one of the things he wants to do is keep your mind open so that you can, he can use you to be able to produce things in this earth that are not being been produced so far. But let's just see how he solved the problem. What he did was he sowed a seed. And once he sowed that seed, and God multiplied that seed, and the provisions were there, because the kingdom of God has an inexhaustible supply of whatever things you might need to meet that need. Now, let me just show you something else, because in Exodus chapter 16, that is when God introduced something called the Sabbath. Now, I didn't say seventh. I said Sabbath. Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. It means rest. All right, now, so in Exodus 16 is the rest, but let's find out why the rest. Let's go all the way over here to Colossians, please, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. And this is what he says. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon, the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now notice what he put in there, Sabbath. He said a Sabbath is a shadow of something to come. Now you know yourself, if there is light behind me and I am behind a wall, and you can't see me because I'm behind this wall, but my shadow is out there, do you know that I'm there? Yep, because that's my shadow represents me, but it's not me. So the Sabbath is a shadow of something coming. So what's coming with that shadow? The Sabbath is a reminder of God's promise to bring them back to completeness. so that they can rest in God's provision. The Sabbath is a type of thing to come. It is something that God will someday restore back to mankind through Jesus Christ. Now, what is that that God's going to restore back to man? He's going to restore the Eden environment back to man. He's going to take him back into the garden. Now, what's in the garden? God's provision. Only thing I got to be concerned about is my assignment. Are you with me here? So that's where God wants you to be, more assignment minded than provision minded. Here's what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He said, don't be looking at what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and all that. All that do the Gentiles seek. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, keep going, and his righteousness, and what will happen? All these things shall be added to you. Now, he's not talking about, hey, kingdom, where are you? No, seek God's way of doing things. And God's way of meeting your need is through your seed. Because he knows in this environment that if you're just trusting in the system, that the system may fail. But God's got a system that will never fail. He said in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 19, if you'll put that on the board, please. He said this. He said, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, but in the days of famine, God's people shall be what? Satisfied. I'm telling you, God is going to take care of you. I don't care what this economy of the world does. God's got you on his heart, and he's made provision for you. Now, give God praise and prepare your tithes and your offerings. And by internet, you can text your giving. Thank you. God bless you.